Good afternoon, everyone. We're calling to order the July 23rd meeting of the City Commission. If you've not done so already, would you please silence your cell phones? We have Reverend Harity here from the St. Richard's, and she will lead us in our invocation. If you'd remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear wise and loving God, we thank you today on behalf of all who are gathered here. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for the measure of health that as a community we need to fulfill our calling to provide a safe, vibrant home for residents and businesses. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities, especially for those who find themselves in trouble or any adversity. You have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those authorities to promote peace and order and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor and the city commissioners that God graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid conflicting interests, a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and fitting, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is disagreement, and personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. We pray for the agenda set before them today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved city of Winter Park. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, Mayor Leary.
I will say that we had a meeting prior to this, and Reverend Harity walked in thinking she was late for the meeting. So it was fun to see someone of the cloth look a little embarrassed. Thank you for everything you do in our community. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye now. Okay, Randy, do we have any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Mayor's report. Actually, I'm going to turn this over to Laura. Where'd you go? There you are.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Today we are actually here to acknowledge our partners and congratulate our students that participated in the 2018 Summer Youth Enrichment Program. To date, the program has placed over 100 students in internships with local nonprofits in our area, and several of them have been hired on full-time with their providers. So this year we were able to provide 15 students with opportunities in the area, and I would like to ask them to come up and be acknowledged as I call out their names. Nia Brown, Brooke Butner, Kevin DeBose, Maya Gorman, Jariah Griffin, Destiny Howard, Jalen Lewis, Naraya Lewis, Max McGee, Jada Oliver, Javon Pinard, Alexis Quinn, Asia Quinn, Sabre Walker, and Shanila Whitaker. Yep, if you would go ahead and funnel over here, we're going to get a picture with you in front of the commissioners. Yes, sir.
I'll stand in the middle of the sequence. The accepted sequence, whatever.
Okay.
Are we closed? Are we closed in that video? Yeah. Or do we look a little silly? Everybody else okay?
Everybody can turn this way, please. And then slide it.
He doesn't even buy it. Don't worry. Yeah.
Okay,
so everybody ready?
Yes. One, two, three. And again. One, two, three.
Yeah?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now I would like to acknowledge our partners that have helped us out through the years.
The international programs, just so you remember this, the program does.
You should have Kyle do that because he wanted to talk about that.
Can we get a minute or two from Kyle?
Okay. Yeah, he was asking me about that. All right, so we're going to acknowledge our partners that have been such a vital part in the success of our program, the local nonprofit businesses that partner with us, and the staff at Rollins College that have helped me out every year with the business etiquette class. I'm going to go ahead and call you forward, please. Melissa Schneider with the library, Robin DeMar with Wellburn Ave Nursery, Laura McBride with the Criado School of Art, Terry Acree with Water Wastewater Division, Barbara Chandler from the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, Mike Roberts with Depew Nursing Center, Jackie Brito, Trace Lack, Linda Puritz, Marilyn Graham, Chelsea Heland, and Liz Bernstein from Rollins College, Kathleen Doss, Stephanie Coons, and Ronnie Moore with the Winter Park Community Center, Amy Winner and Crystal Levson with the Winter Park Day Nursery. I have everybody. All right. Here comes the photographs. Oops.
One more time.
You smell my confidence. It's been nice to be at work.
Yes, maybe you want to eat it. This year, I'll make sure I send it to you. I want to smell the confidence.
Uh-oh, I know I can't get behind Steve.
Mike. Yeah. 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 I can give you a hug.
Dirty teachers.
No, me. He has to take care of my mom.
You guys turn this way. Scooch in.
My family,
you guys turn this way. Scooch in.
Okay, I'm trying to move out from behind Steve.
Okay, so the rest of you. There we go. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay,
is everybody ready? One, two, three. And again, one, two, three.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And while the mayor's coming forward, I just want to say we had a report at staff meeting the other day from Sean Schaefer saying how many of the graduates of this program have gone on to work for the library as full-time jobs, so part-time and full-time jobs. So it was quite a statement about the quality and of the people that come through that program.
Hey, Randy, I just asked Kyle to just give us a two-minute, he's all talked out from our CRA meeting, just give us a two-minute update on what exactly the program is.
Sure. So it's a summer youth enrichment program is what we call it. And essentially, we provide paid internships for CRA youth and give them really the opportunity to get their first time and get their feet in the water when it comes to learning the skills necessary to become a proper professional. One of the things that we've really enjoyed, and this has been under Laura's leadership, is the addition and partnership with Rollins College on a business etiquette day, which really addresses some of the finer points of being a professional in the internship. So that goes to resume writing, that goes to proper dialogue in interviews, that goes to eye contact, handshakes, all of those tiny nuances that maybe you don't really think about when the first time you're accepting your first job there. So Randy, as you pointed out, that there is great examples of where we've had these internships turn into part and full-time jobs, and that's really exemplified by the library, is how you mentioned that. So we're really, really excited about this program and look forward to keeping it going.
Thank you, Kyle. Okay, that is the end of my report. City Manager, Randy.
Mr. Mayor, we have another short video for you. You enjoyed the last one so much, we have another one for you this meeting.
Okay.
It's here.
It's not on our screens, guys. We're working on it.
You may kiss the prize. Kiss the prize. Kiss the prize. Kiss the prize.
welcome our brides and grooms. Civilian and public use and bringing a community together. Again, citizens of Winter Park came together with the city to provide funding by means of a group called Civic. At the head of this team was Rachel Murrow, one of Winter Park's greatest advocates. In recognition of her efforts and service to the city, the Winter Park Civic Center was renamed the Rachel D. Murrow Civic Center on December 12, 2001.
Most of the celebrations in this building were either weddings or receptions for weddings. Our theme today is We Still Do. Years ago, you responded to each other, I do. Although the physical building of the Civic Center will no longer stand here, the memories, events, and life this center holds will stand longer than any wall can stand. The new library and event center complex, we are calling the Canopy, will still do the things that this building did and more. Thank you for making this the largest public wedding vow renewal the city has ever seen. Today, you renew your promise to try to always bring out the qualities of forgiveness, compassion, and integrity in yourselves and in each other. It's with pleasure that I conclude the ceremony of renewing the vows of marriage that joined you as husband and wives. You may kiss your brides and grooms.
Yes, sir, just an update. A couple of meetings ago, might have been the last meeting, we were asked about the ability to move trees at the site of the new Civic Center and library. I drew go out, and there are roughly 61 total trees that'll have to be removed under the existing or under the parking lot where it'll be, and under the buildings and the Belvedere. 32 of those trees are in pretty good shape that Drew said, if you know, if money were no object, you would like to move. 19 of those are in that 30 to 40 inch range. The estimate we got from a professional mover is those cost about $51,000 each to move.
Oh, my Lord.
There's six of them in the 18 to 26 inch range. Those would cost around $24,000 to move each. And then there's seven that were below 18 inches. Those cost about $18,000 each to move. So if you did all of those, that'd be about $1.2 million. So we're going to do some more work as far as just kind of ranking those, but, you know, the one thing that's important to know is it takes about 9 to 12 months to do the root trimming and all the work you need to give them the best chance of survival. If you try to do it fast, you know, you reduce their chance of survival. So if the commission is of the mind to move any or all of these, we would need to make that decision fairly quickly. And we would have to move them to somewhere within the park. Otherwise, got to be doing some other severe canopy trimming to get the tree moved down, you know, somewhere else. So just to put it in perspective, the cost of a new 6-inch tree installed is about $1,850. So just want to put that out there for you to think about. And I'd be glad to hear any direction you have on that. Also, on the update on the library, we did meet with the architects this past week, went over the you know, the furthering iterations of the plans. The two most substantial changes to note would be that the outdoor amphitheater, as was originally contemplated, has moved over to where it's more in a direct line looking between the two buildings, which I think is a very positive move, you know, from a visual standpoint. And the size of the hardscape on the Belvedere has decreased. It's more green space on the Belvedere, which I also think that...
Does green space mean in plants?
Yeah, no, it's actual grass.
But up on the concrete?
Yeah, so instead of concrete, it'll be grass, but up at that Belvedere level.
Okay, so it's on top of concrete. Sorry, be this ignorant. On top of concrete?
No, it'll be on...
They're going to build up the
that's
ground?
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Inside a retaining wall, if you will. So,
green is good.
It is scheduled to come. The citywide notice will be going out, I believe, next week, if not this week. And the P&Z meeting to consider the project will be on September 11th, and then it'll be coming before the City Commission on September 24th. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Seidel.
Randy, on those trees, did you get more than one price? Or
we didn't. We certainly can.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's kind of going to be substantially different than that.
Yeah, I can't believe they'd be that far off, but it certainly doesn't hurt to ask.
Right.
And there is the question, what does it cost to maintain a tree till it reaches some level of maturity would have to be considered. I know the city planner...
You have the same issue here, though. This does not include the ongoing watering and all that would have to take place, right, you know, in the moving and then once you replanted it. So, I mean, I think that's probably, for lack of a better word, a wash to a new tree.
Did the contractor give you any ideas as to the percentage of loss when they do this?
Is Drew still here? I don't know if they answered that question, Drew. What is the percentage of them that would survive?
But there's no guarantee that it will.
Right.
Because I would like to add that the city of Winter Park planted three trees on my street, and two of them died. So we only had one tree out of the three that the city planted. So if the cost of a tree was $1,850 times three, only one survived. So I think it's something that we want to consider. I think it's a level of quality we might aspire to. So for me, I'm very happy to see another quote to see if, you know, if it's something.
Well, I did want to maybe talk about a different tact on it. And also, I mean, you know, just for example, they are building the new medical facility at the entrance. And if we could get some bigger trees put in their parking lot that came from the park, as opposed to them having to go find some other oak trees to put in.
I don't know what you mean.
Where? The trees.
The bowling alley property.
The bowling alley property.
If we're able to put some of those bigger trees in their lot instead of the smaller trees, that there may be some place to work there. But I almost feel, you know, if those are the costs, Randy, then it seems we should look at targeting, like, for example, the tree that was behind everybody in the pictures of the wedding, right? So there's a tree that I got married in front of that tree. Mm-hmm. And so does that tree, so those types of things that I'm sure there's a budget we would all be comfortable with getting involved in, and I don't think it's $1.2 million.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we have staff at least seek a second price, then turn this over to staff to give kind of us a recommendation on what they think is the appropriate number to potentially save, if any, or if all, and come forward with a recommendation. Okay, thank you.
Sure. And one more question.
Yes.
He said that it comes to P&Z on 9/11. We don't see it before that.
Correct.
Okay.
We can certainly send you the site plan that's going to P&Z if you want it now.
I'd just like to see whatever's sure. going to be going there. That's okay. all. Okay.
You certainly are welcome to that. Anything else for the city manager? Now, Randy, the thing I see there, the prohibit language, is at the bottom of your report, discussion of the comprehensive plan. I just find it's interesting, too, because we have two pieces here that did not have to go through the same process that the nice lady on Lake Killarney had to go through, right?
Right.
So we have a subdivision. We have two in here right now. And they didn't have to go through a public notice. They didn't have to go through a citywide notice on any of their lot splits.
I'll let Jeff explain the difference.
That's because of the lake language.
Well, that's because there's
yeah, there was a gate. Because they weren't lakefront estate.
It's not only lakefront, but there's two others, too, in this
right.
community.
Okay.
But yes, am I right? If they were included in any of these three areas, Jeff, they would have had to do a citywide public notice?
That's right. If there's a specific text that says prohibit, then they have to amend the comprehensive plan as we did on Lake Killarney.
Thank you. So, once again, kind of an unfair burden on a small number of people in the city.
So why don't we do something about it?
What's coming up, it looks like, in August meetings. I just found it out, you know, timely that we're going to talk about it. It's in the city manager's report.
Oh, that's the prohibit language you wanted to talk about.
Okay, City Attorney's report. I'm sorry, anybody else for the City Manager? Nope, Mr. City Attorney?
No report, quiet on the legal front.
Okay, questions? Well, that's not true. quiet on our legal front. Questions for the City Attorney?
I do have one quick question.
Please.
When we are approving zone request for redesignation and from a comp plan's perspective, changing land use designations, and an accompanying request for rezoning. I think we had this discussion before, and I don't think I went away with clarity. Are we permitted to approve at a lower level of intensity than the requested land use designation?
So the comprehensive plan is in place,
right.
And there's a rezoning that asks for something consistent, has to be consistent with that comprehensive plan.
Right.
You're not required, unless there's no substantial comparative evidence that would be a basis for denial.
For denial.
Then you don't have to approve. In other words, it's kind of interesting.
Except my question.
Here's the top. Let's say it's 20 units per acre, and somebody comes in at 20 units per acre. And they meet all of the criteria, and there's no countervailing evidence to say they're not entitled, they don't meet all the criteria, then you would have to approve that. But typically, what happens is, say 20 units per acre, somebody comes at 20 units per acre, there's evidence before the commission, substantial competent evidence, that would give the commission the ability to say yes or no, the criteria are met or not met.
Right.
So you're not required to approve the maximum.
No, I totally understand that. In fact, our comprehensive plan very clearly says that we may not approve the maximum. The question that I have is a little bit different. If someone comes in asking for a land use designation that is a higher intensity of land use, and we're not uncomfortable with the project, but we are uncomfortable with granting that level of future land use designation because of the intensity of use, do we have the authority here to say we're not going to approve it at that level, at that particular future land use, but we would be willing to approve it at a lower level of
without intensity? Renoticing.
Without renoticing, that's exactly
certainly
right.
You can approve it something lesser than the request if the applicant consents.
Is willing to take it, okay.
Right. Otherwise, they may want to push the envelope and get a denial from the commission and challenge the denial.
But we can do
that. Certainly.
I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
I thought that's what you were
doing. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, we have any further questions? Nope. Mr. City Attorney, thank you.
Yes, sir.
We have a consent agenda, folks. In front of us, we'll take citizen comments closer to the
floor. I'd like to move it. Second.
Okay. We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on item 9? Now is your time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Item 9, all in favor, consent agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Cindy. Please record 5-0. Randy, budget discussion, tentative millage rate.
Yes, sir. We'd need the City Commission to adopt a tentative millage rate. This is the millage rate that will be advertised in the trim notice that goes out to all the taxpayers in Winter Park. The staff's recommendation with the budget that's been presented to you is for an operating millage of 4.0923, a vote debt service millage for the 2011 general obligation bonds of 0.1478, and a debt service millage of 0.3271 for the library to service, or for the debt to service the library and event center bonds.
Okay, so I will move that.
And I'll second.
Okay.
I have Commissioner
Cooper. Okay, discussion, commission. Seeing none, we'll open up the floor to public. Oh, Mr. Wilden.
I'll make a motion to reduce the millage rate so as to generate $500,000 in reduced tax revenues for the budget year ending 9/30/19.
Okay. Do we have a number on that, sir, or did you?
Yeah,
do you have it handy?
I don't have a number. I'd just like to point out that the surpluses we expect going forward this year and the current projected budget. Will leave us at the end of 19 with our 30% objective, I believe, will be met. And I think there is a point at which we have to respect the taxpayers' contribution to the successes we've had and note that the tax revenues have increased, I think, over $6 million in the past 3 years. And there's a point at which I don't think we should spend every penny, especially when we've been able to make such substantial improvements to the city as well as build our reserves to the 30% standard that we established. So that's my justification for moving that.
Okay, so let me ask Peter, you had that number. What was that number?
It's about a millage rate of 4. 4 would reduce the total revenue by $510,000.
Okay, so Peter, is that an okay motion then to reduce the millage rate from existing 4.0923 to 4.0, which would be a savings of approximately $510,000, is that what you said, Peter?
Yes, I'll move that.
Okay. Okay, that fails for lack of a second.
Okay.
Okay, let's open up the floor. Did we open up the floor?
No, you're
about to. Let's
open
up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on this item? Now is your time. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll. This includes all three, folks. This includes the debt service, general obligation bonds, 2011 for the public service building at 0.1478, and the 2017 debt service, general obligation to the library event center at 0.3271, as well as the tentative millage rate of 4.0923. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
No.
Larry.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Artiman, would you please read 11A?
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Article Room Number 4, sign regulations of the City of Winter Park Land Development Code to provide for the regulation of murals, providing for severability, codification, conflicts, and an effective date.
Okay. This is on second reading, folks.
I'd like to move it.
Second. Okay. Discussion?
Just that the records show that I'm opposed to murals in the Central Business District, the Park Avenue corridor primarily.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item? Now is your time. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Item 11B. Let's have a simultaneous public hearing. Mr. City Attorney, would you please read the two ordinances?
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank and ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Element, Text, Policies, and Maps to enable the approval of Central Business District future land use on the property at 338 West Morris Boulevard, and to amend the Comprehensive Plan future land use map to change from an office future land use designation to a Central Business District future land use designation on the property at 338 West Morris Boulevard, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict severability and an effective date. And ordinance number blank and ordinance amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3, zoning, amending the zoning regulations text for the Section 58-75 Commercial C-2 Zoning District and Section 58-95 Definitions Map D-2 to enable the approval of Commercial C-2 District Zoning on the property at 338 West Morris Boulevard, and to amend the official zoning map to change from Office O-1 District Zoning to Commercial C-2 District Zoning on the property at 338 West Morris Boulevard, more particularly described in providing for conflict severability and an effective date.
Mr. Briggs. Thank you, Mr. Arvin.
Yes, sir.
So as you've heard, this item consists of the two ordinances with the titles that were just read, as well as a conditional use dealing with the property at 338 West Morris Boulevard, which contains right now a two-story building built back in 1998. Some of us still call it the Smith Barney building for the first tenant that was in there, and Smith Barney merged their offices with Morgan Stanley. They moved to Park Avenue, and ever since they left that building, the owners have had a very difficult time leasing the building. The second floor has been vacant for many, many years, and so they are looking at an alternative use of that property. You see on the overhead the aerial of the two-story building in the parking lot on the east and south sides. And so their ideas, given the success of downtown residential townhouses, is to redevelop this property residentially. They want to follow the pattern of some others, such as the Phil Keane townhouses diagonally across the street. And this, of course, these pictures, of course, show you the existing building that's there, as well as the parking, as I said, on the east and behind to the south. And are requesting the same kind of designations as were used across the street for those townhouses diagonally on the corner of Virginia and Morse, by requesting redesignation to a Central Business District future land use, as well as a C2 zoning. That would then enable them to proceed with the project as designed. And this overhead shows you right now that it's designated office. It's the blue color. Right next to it is the Douglas Grand. That has a future land use and a zoning of CBD and C2. So they're asking what is right next door in terms of designations at Douglas Grand. They are asking, as I said, what exists diagonally across the street at those new townhomes, and what the people who own properties to the west, although they're zoned office now, at least under the comprehensive plan text, would be entitled to ask for the same thing. But the text actually doesn't say that this property is entitled to ask. That's part of the amendments. They were changing some words as well as the color. Not sure I can tell the commission really the reason why that was left out in 2009. All I can think of was that we had more or less a new two-story office building, and we didn't envision redevelopment in C2. As I mentioned, the applicants are asking for what they feel is the same entitlements that are permitted for other adjacent property owners. Obviously, that would apply to the future land use as well as the zoning. And so,
Jeff, can you go back one slide, please?
So it's now also a zoned office there, blue on the corner. They want to go, in essence, to the pink, which is our C2 designation for zoning.
And what's across the street, R4?
Across the street is the Park West Condos. Yes, that's right. R4.
And what density is that built to? Is that R3? Does that look like an R3?
Which is Park West?
I think it's
like
four stories.
Yeah.
Park West? Park West is R4, density 25 units an acre.
What about the intensity of land use? What floor area ratio is it?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's the 200 that's achievable under C2.
I think that the Douglas Grand is probably close.
The Douglas Grand is, Douglas it used to be R4, Douglas Grand.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Okay, the project is going to reuse the existing two-story building by cutting it into five pieces of a pie. So the downstairs and upstairs is a two-story townhouse. Then in the back, where the parking lot is, they're going to have a little outside patio garden area and build a two-story, two-car garage for each of those five units. First floor of that garage is the two parking places that the residents will use, and on the upper floor of that two-story garage will be some additional living area detached from the main structure. And so they will reuse that existing building, just basically adding the garages to the rear. But then in the parking lot that's to the right as you're looking to the east, in between that building and Douglas Grand, they're proposing to build a new three-story residential condominium building. First floor is just sort of common areas, as well as garage and parking. And on the second floor are two condominium units. And on the third floor is a single condominium unit. So it is eight units total. The zoning that they have now, as well as the zoning they're asked for, which is 17 units per acre, would allow as many as 17 units. So obviously, it's far short of that. They're not asking to increase the residential density. In terms of parking, that's always important. You know, we want spaces for the occupants as well as for visitors and guests. They are required 2.5. They actually have 5 extra visitor parking places beyond our code, so they more than comply with the parking. They are keeping the new building in line with the 10-foot setback. They are on Morse, so that will be a commonality. They are planning for this to be gated access, a one-way coming in off Virginia, and an entry gate exiting onto Morse Boulevard. Did note that they will have to move the gate in a little bit on the Virginia side so they're not stopped parked over the sidewalk while they're using the keypad, but that's easy for them to do, underground exfiltration. So this will meet the code in all respects, pending the rezoning to C2. You'll note that there is some significant setbacks to Douglas Grand, so they're not right on top of it. They're 24, 27 feet away on one side, 27, 45 feet away on the south side. So there is space in between the two buildings. They are asking for a 2.5-foot height variance to be a little taller than what's permitted, but given their proximity to Douglas Grand that surrounds this property, that's 55 feet in height, across the street from Park West, it's 55 feet in height, didn't seem inappropriate for that extra 2.5 feet to be granted to this project. These are elevations that show to the far left the infill with a three-story building and a little closer view of how the infill, that three-story condo would be. See, there still is space for the driveway in between them and Douglas Grand, as well as a courtyard to the two-story building. So it is a floor area ratio of about 101%. The staff report did note that this really is not a project at the intensity of C2. It's not 200%. They're not asking for every square foot that they can build. The density is comparable to other multifamilies we've done in the downtown and R3 zoning, because it would fit within that with respect to floor area ratio. But it would not fit and meet R3 with respect to setbacks. And they don't have 25 feet off the streets. They're taller than 35 feet. They would need setbacks. We did talk about that alternative at P&Z, and the applicant can address why they want to continue with the current zoning, which is primarily to avoid having nonconformities in the approval via variances. So you do have a positive recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Board, and see what questions you might have from staff.
Great. Questions for staff. Commissioner Cooper.
Jeff, I do have a question. You said that the O1 zoning and the R3 zoning and the C2 zoning all allow the same level of residential density?
Density, 17 per acre.
Can you talk about the intensity of land use, the floor area ratio? What is the difference? Could this additional building be built under office zoning, for instance? The additional one. I know we could take the existing one and put condos upstairs, but could we still build this one?
Under the office zoning, no, because okay. our zoning is, if you have office zoning, we expect you to build an office building, not a residential
condo.
Well,
no, we allow 17 units per acre residential upstairs.
We only allow residential on the second floor.
Right.
There isn't any way to get residential on the ground floor, so okay. This could not be done in office.
Right. Even if he builds this at R3 density and intensity, which is what he's doing by going, I think it's only 101% floor area ratio, right? So that's well within what's allowed in R3. But if we approve C2, he then becomes entitled to a 200% floor area ratio at any time in the future that he should choose to redevelop this or expand it, or is that correct?
Well, of course, not entitled. We never like to use
that
word.
Well, 200% far is entitled under C2, is it not?
No.
If you meet all the codes?
They're only allowed to get what the City Commission feels is appropriate and compatible with context and location.
That's fair.
They certainly can ask for additional density up to 200% FAR, but we don't like to use that entitled word because it's still got to come to you for a yes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I like that. But right now, it could be built as it is proposed under R3 with two variances.
Well, with setback variances and height variance.
And how much are those variances?
So they would have to have 25-foot front setbacks on the two streets, and they have 10.
They don't get average with...
No. Okay. And R3 limits you to 35 feet in height, and they have 42.5, so 7.5 feet okay. for height.
Thank you.
Mr. Weldon?
Yes, Jeff. What do the Morse Avenue design guidelines say about setbacks? From
they say that we like to have buildings up as close to the street as we can because we'd rather look at pretty buildings than parking.
Thanks. The other question pertains to, obviously I sense a concern among some about the 200% FAR number sounds scary to some. As a practical matter, given the size of this property, even if it was combined with other property, there's a three-story max, and that's only with... the commission's conditional use approval, correct?
That's correct.
And anybody building, let's say that they wanted to tear down the two-story building and build a three-story building and add more floor area and more units, they would need more parking. And my question is, how much limitation is there as a practical matter in terms of even getting close to 200% FAR on a project like this?
Well, I mean, if you scraped the site and started over yeah. and did underground parking, I mean, there's a scenario where you yeah. could get closer to 200%. Trying to use that building and keep yeah. the building that's there, the only other way you could add any square footage is try to make that one three stories. Uh-huh. And that wouldn't be a significant increase in that FAR.
Okay, thank you.
And the numbers still have to work.
Yeah.
Mr. Seidel?
Yeah, I just have a few comments. And one is just more to do with the final appearance and the green space aspect of it. And, you know, looking at the site plan itself, I didn't see a lot of areas for landscaping. And so that's one of the things that... you know, I like when you can go down a street and turn and you see green. I don't like when it's constant buildings. I feel like that's what you're in a big city, right? So looking at this, I was just, if some accommodations can be made for the landscaping, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. That I would like to, you know, some of those trees so you don't feel like you're going down a street that's nothing but building faces.
Well, the majority of it is right now.
Jeff, doesn't R3 require more pervious space than C2?
Yes, it does.
Can you help me with what the difference in C2 requirement for pervious space and R3 requirement for pervious space is?
C2, remember, is, or I shouldn't say remember, as the audience may not know, is primarily our zoning that we use in Hannibal Square along Park Avenue, but we have used it in other contexts, such as the townhouse development diagonally across the street, the other new one that's starting down there on the DeCiccio building next to the Coop. And because it is a Park Avenue zoning, it doesn't have a requirement for any pervious space, for any green space. It's an urban zoning district.
And R3 would require how much, and O1, the office and the residential, would require how much? I don't know about R3.
R3 would require 25%.
25%.
Pervious, and so I probably need to add that as another variance that none of us were thinking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Seidel, anything else?
I just say I'm a little more inclined to give the lesser zoning and let him build what he's trying to build. That's kind of where I'm at the moment.
I'm very inclined to do that.
I am.
With C2 or go with R4?
No, we go with what they requested. Right. I like what we're getting here because what we're getting here is more people on that community. They're in walkable space. So I really think that was a great move. I was very excited to see it. I don't know that we've moved this yet, but I'm happy to move it.
Can I make a couple of comments?
Well, certainly. We have the applicant here, too. If the applicant would like to address the commission prior to a motion, we can certainly entertain that. Commissioner Cooper, if you'd like to make a comment to the applicant.
Yes, thank
you. You have the floor.
I'm not quite certain I understood what Sarah said. She said she likes what she sees here, as do I, by the way. I like it under R3 residential, not under C2 as commercial. And the biggest reason for that is, one of the reasons for that is that under residential, these apartments that are being built above the garages, the guest living quarters, under residential zoning, they can only be used for guest domestic service employees or family members.
Are they apartments?
They are guest living quarters.
Right.
So, but because it's commercial, they don't have any of the restrictions on it that they normally have when they're residential. When they're residential, you can only use it for your guest, for domestic service employees, or for family of the people living in the main unit. They're also limited to 1,000 square feet. They also may not have a kitchen. They also can't have separate utility meters. They cannot be hired out, and they must have a deed restriction. That's only if they are in a residential zoning category. So if this is approved under R3, with variances, you still get exactly what he wants to build. The only difference is there are very clear guidelines and restrictions on the guest living quarters that are above the garage. So for me,
is that your concern, Commissioner? Just the opportunity to do Airbnb
and
Verbo?
Yes. And so
that's
your
entire concern on the entire project?
No.
Okay.
No, open space is another drainage.
Okay.
That's another one. So for me, my first motion where I have to make one would be to please approve it under R3. My second would be that if it's the decision of the commission to approve C2 and allow 200% FAR ultimately entitled in the future as opposed to 45 or 110, then my request would be that we apply the restrictions that we normally apply to residential accessories. Yeah.
That, well, so see, given, excuse me, Commissioner Cooper, given that we're supposed to hear all the evidence about a matter like this, I think we ought to hear all the evidence before I make any more comments. And public comment.
Okay. So let's have the applicant, if the applicant would like to present, we can certainly hear.
Dan Bellows, 411 West New England Avenue, representing Greenhouse Partnership, LTD. For the owners, which is Mike and Diane Mayer, who has owned this property since it was vacant land and on the hard corner, if you might remember, was the old First FA drive-thrus, and then there was the old greenhouse, if everybody knows where that was there, and then a big vacant land. And they acquired and assembled the property and built this property, this building, as a build-to-suit for Smith Barney, as Jeff said. I think they did a nice job. They paid their taxes, and you know, they liked the property. And Ms. Mayer has a great vision of living in this new structure on the third floor. But they are, it is almost their number one position, that surrounded by CBD, adjacent to C2 zoning, diagonally from CBD, and someone who developed residential-only townhomes got C2 zoning. And if you read the text, the entire two-block, three-block stretch is permitted to come before this board and ask for this very thing, and for some bizarre reason that staff cannot even answer, there's one sentence that calls out the mayor's one lot that says this shouldn't be C2. They would like CBD, they would like C2 zoning, and all the privileges that come with it. They think they're going to do a very nice project, but they would like what they've asked for. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you take some questions, Dan?
Sure.
Are there any questions for the applicant? Okay. Thanks, Dan. We'll have you back up if
thank you.
Public has any. Okay. Commissioner Sprinkle, you are.
I would like to move it as it is, as they requested it, and not add the
any restrictions.
Any restrictions.
Okay. And that would be for not only the comp plan but also zoning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second it for discussion purposes, and may I discuss at this point?
You may.
You know, the concern here is how much is really is C2 zoning in our downtown area and within the CRA. And, you know, I'm very sensitive to the impact of these things, obviously, as we all are. But I think about, should we be afraid of C2 zoning where we have C2 zoning? And I'm trying to arrive at a rational thought process that says giving them C2 zoning is going to get us something we don't want eventually. And I can't come up with that. In fact, if you look at the success of the CRA, if you look at the success of our downtown, if you look at the success of Hannibal Square, it's all based upon C2 zoning as a foundation in most of the CRA area where we have livable spaces. I don't think we should be afraid of CRA in this area. I don't think there's any justification for fearing the outcome. I think we should embrace the investment that is being requested here for the sake of Morse Boulevard and for the sake of our downtown community. And I just, you know, don't see any fear factor in my mind as to why we should change the zoning from that requested.
Okay. Mr. Cooper?
I do actually have a response to what Peter
said. Like that was going to be a surprise to
well, no, it just is kind of off, maybe it's off track a little bit.
Okay.
I do want to talk about this later under commission reports, but for right now, Peter, there has been a lot of pride on this commission that we got rid of R4 high density residential development.
Correct.
if we get rid of high-density R4 residential development, which has very few parcels left to develop under it,
right,
and we turn right around and allow C2 to become the new R4.
But it's not.
It is. C2 was when the comp plan was written and C2 was put in place. Mm-hmm. It was very clear that the purpose of C2 was to extend the Park Avenue experience. It even says that in the code. And if you go and look at it, what that meant in those days was commercial or something else, office or retail or restaurant on the first floor and residential upstairs. So I think as a commission, we need to look at the policy that says if we don't want any more paseos, then we should not be granting even more intensity and less setbacks by using the C2 code in place of the R4 code, because that's what we're doing. We are creating 100% residential and allowing it to be right up on the street with zero pervious space. And I think that's not a good policy decision for
the
city.
The zero pervious space is a function of where it is.
Right, and this is not in a walkable business district. There are no restaurants or retails on each side of this.
Well, you'll notice, I think, that there are other C2 properties that have been converted to residential successfully without burdening the city with high-density occupancy. And I don't see where you're going to, you know, so you want to make it R3 with 25% green space? Is that what you want to do? Or?
I think that would probably be the best thing for the community. However, I would be, because of the discussion that we're having, personally, I know that Phil Keene's property was consistent with the comprehensive plan map, which I didn't have any part in putting together. However, I do believe that changing our comprehensive plan for individual developers is not a good idea. I didn't like supporting it. I only did it because it was in the comp plan and in that map. I don't know. I didn't put the map together. I have no idea what the thought process was. But what I would say to you is that was the only reason that I voted to support using C2 for 100% residential, because I think it is a horrible precedence, and I believe that it creates worse than R4.
This is a two-story area that can only be made three stories with the approval of the city commission on a conditional use basis.
Right.
There is no way, as a practical matter, to get the kind of density you're afraid of on this property.
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all.
Excuse me, Commissioner. Allow me, please. I'll give you each just a minute or two to kind of wrap things up. I think we've all heard both of your concerns and your comments on it, but it is time to share with the audience and also the other commission members. So please
go
ahead, Commissioner.
No, that's very fair. So
thank
for
you.
Me, I say let's go R3. If we can't go R3, let's go C2 with the same restrictions on garage apartments that we afford residential development, which this is.
Okay. Commissioner Weldon, anything else?
No.
Okay. I hear the comments, and Commissioner Cooper, I had similar thoughts. The one thought regarding...
Somebody has
actually pretty nice. I like that sentence.
I thought Sarah did that when I started speaking.
Who was that? Where do I get that?
That's the pearly gate, you guys.
As long as no one disappears.
I'm not as concerned. I was concerned when I looked at it regarding Airbnb and Vrbo, and that's an issue that I've taken on. However, I'm not sure anyone that's going to be buying what I assume to be extremely pricey units is going to be renting out by the evening to their 400-square-foot apartment next to them. So I don't have that great a concern there. I also, regarding the setbacks, regarding this being up on the street, we have to remember that the majority of this project is already there, already up on the street, and it's surrounded by a property that's already on the street. I think they're asking for what their neighbors have. I'm not sure why the oversight. We know it's going to be a beautiful project, and I think it will fit right in. So I'll be supporting this. I'd also like to move the conditional use, which we have not made a motion on.
I'll second that.
Okay.
So with that, I think we've heard from every commission member on this initially. Let's open up the floor to the public and hear what they have to say. So anybody wishing to speak on this item, please.
Hi, Commissioners and Mayor. I'm Todd Weaver from 1051 Lakeville Drive, and I'd like to make the following comments. I'm going to quote a code clause from C2 CBD, and it says, "The regulations outlined in this district encourage the continuation of present aesthetically pleasing central business district, provide areas for the concentration of compatible land uses, and provide for appropriate commercial, restaurant, and residential uses, which will strengthen the city's economic base." So the adjacent properties on the south side of Morse all have shops. They all have commercial ventures on their first floor, and the applicant described a hardship in that they can't rent the top floor, but that implies that the bottom floor is perfectly rentable. So in keeping with the intent of this part of the code, I believe that having commercial activities on the street is consistent with the Douglas Grant and the properties on down Morse. So for a three-story residential development in this zoning district, it requires four votes of the city commission. So any two of you can bust this, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
It's a 58-75I2C. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can somebody verify for us?
The supermajority was removed.
Well, I think Muni Code still has
it. We continue to work through our frustrations with Muni Code on updating our ordinances. The supermajority was removed a couple
this
years ago.
This particular supermajority was removed?
Okay. Some time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's against our charter, which is the ruling document. Okay, anyone else? Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. Folks, any final comments before we move?
Yes, I would like to. I'd like to say that, quite frankly, I had lost track of the fact that the Douglas Grand had commercial on the first floor, and it does. So that all the more for me says that this should either be developed as O1 with existing office on the first floor and the residents on the second floor. I would like to make a motion regarding the garage living areas, that the garage living areas be subject to the restrictions included in section 5871 general provisions for residential zoning districts, to include all the items that I had enumerated previously, which would be that the guest houses are restricted to guests, domestic service employees, or members of a family occupying the main building, that they be restricted to 1,000 square feet of floor space, that they be not allowed to have a kitchen, that they not be on separate utility meters, that they not be let out or rented for occupancy, and that they be deed restricted in conformance with section 5871.
Okay, so Commissioner, can I just try to tighten that for you for my own purposes?
Sure.
For my selfish purposes.
5871, that they comply with all provisions of section 5871.
Thank you.
General provisions for residential zoning districts, item I-8.
And Commissioner, before I before the chair allows a second on that, I'd like to at least see what that is, since it's not before any of us now.
I had it sent to
is
you,
that
and
what
I
that
also
is? That's
brought
the
a copy And Jeff, if you would put this on the overhead, please.
Isn't this what we just had in front of us not too long ago? Yes.
And that was in a residential neighborhood.
Because it was a residential neighborhood, we did, and we actually made sure that the garage, yeah.
It is ringing a bell. So do we have a second on the motion?
Yeah, second, and I want to hear from the applicant on his thoughts on it.
Okay.
Yes, just put it up there so if anybody has a question about what it says.
I would comment that I, you know, debated this issue earlier today as I was reviewing this for the umpteenth time. And I am in full support of that section of code that provides those restrictions where it is a residential neighborhood of single-family homes. And I think the experience that was shared to us by former Commissioner Tom at the last meeting makes it clear why that's important.
Can you blow that up a little bit, Jeff? Yeah. It's hard to
but,
read.
But isn't that covered in a whole other statute when it
no.
comes to...
No.
No,
only in residential.
No. So
it applies only in the R zoning classes.
So hold you're on. Saying we can have...
I believe what Commissioner Sprinkle is asking is...
No, yeah.
Airbnb and that are allowed in C2 zoning. They're not allowed in residential.
So we want to prohibit this from ever becoming a Airbnb.
Well, right. or rented for less than 30 days.
Right.
So just so you know, my first, because I had the same thoughts, okay. except my perspective on it is these people that are buying 4,500 square foot homes are not going
out.
To be renting out.
No, they
this
are
will
not.
Also be controlled by a condominium association, I'm assuming, Mr. Bellows. It will be condoed.
If it is converted to a condo,
okay. Great. Which is not going to allow
us. We have them now that are rented out.
These people are going to rent this out.
I just looked at them for my wedding, and they are on the west side, and they are in proximity.
I didn't know you were getting married.
Mr. Bellows, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. Seidel had a question?
Your thoughts
the
on,
amendment.
Yeah.
On,
your
the
thoughts on the
amendment here to prohibit, you know, apply Section 5871 in this property.
So appreciate the discussion, and, you know, we've all done this a lot. Would not like any amendments.
Right.
It would be unfair, in our opinion, to have a piece of property. You know, I started in 1994 with the Valencia building that was the old Barnett Bank Insurance Guarantee building. We built a lot of buildings on Morse. We have the same land use, the same zoning. Just do not want this particular building singled out. And it's almost crazy. Mr. Briggs was proud of the setbacks we have from the Douglas Grand. Douglas Grand is looming down on us.
Right.
We would not like any of those amendments. I believe several of the commissioners are correct. The mayors are talking about spending an awful lot of money in this property, and it's, you know, she wants all of her friends to live there, et cetera, et cetera. But I can tell you they want to be fair. And I will say, Ms. Mayor might want to put a little art gallery tucked under her building. She might want to do this, do that. The code is there for her to follow. And she would like CBD, C2, without any restrictions that the Phil Keane Project or other properties right on the street don't have either.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Bellows.
There's lots of landscaping. All those courtyards are green. Each one's 790 square feet. Between the existing building and the new building is a beautiful garden courtyard.
Yes,
yeah, all the trees are being saved. There's a lot of landscaping.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, folks, we have an amendment, and we have three motions in front of us. So, sure, the amendment that we're going to be voting on first is to have the 5871 applied to this project.
Did we get a second for that?
Commissioner Cooper and Commissioner Seidel seconded that,
okay.
Yes. So that's what we'll be voting on first. So, Cindy.
And, Mr. Mayor, I did have another motion real quick.
An amendment?
Amendment that the C2 zoning, that's the one they're hoping to get here,
yes.
become effective when the structure is constructed as shown to us and with that basic shell and footprint.
You want to say it again?
And why would that be, Commissioner?
If we change the zoning.
Let's see if we have a second first. Do we have a second for that?
I will second it for discussion.
Okay. Commissioner, please.
Yeah, just the intent of what they're going to build, you know, looks, if we grant the C2 zoning, I don't know what that gives them off the top of my head. I don't know what they could change it to after this meeting. I don't know that they intend to change anything, but things come up and you never know what's going to happen. So if we do the zoning change based on kind of the shell and the outline here, that it's consistent with what they're showing, if they choose to put shops all the way down the front, which is kind of what we want in the district, we're not telling them they can't. We're just saying don't ask for another floor to put apartments on or something.
Mayor, if I could.
Please.
That, I would think, would present a number of issues to make the zoning effective after the building is built.
Did we not do that on another project?
I
remember the discussion at one time, but I don't think we did.
The way that try to accomplish your objective would be to ask the developer to commit to what he's presented today with respect to that, rather than make it the zoning effective upon the building. All kinds of it, I mean, from a financing standpoint, from a reliance standpoint, for someone to go forward and build a project without having the zoning in place.
Yeah.
And then make it effective.
I don't recall what we did on the other project.
I'm so sorry.
I think we discussed it. We just know for this reason we couldn't.
Is there a way to condition the approval?
If the applicant intends to build what he's presented, he can commit to that, and you can make that a condition. But he needs to commit to that.
A condition of the rezoning or a condition of this conditional use?
I think you can do it as to the conditional use would probably be the most appropriate.
Right, but I understand Commissioner Seidel to be worried about the change in land use designation.
I think that's
conditioned by the intended use of the project, which I think.
So I think that's an unfair burden. So I know the chair won't entertain that because I do think that's an unfair burden to place on an applicant. If there's another Commissioner Seidel, I understand where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to do that without placing an unfair burden on the applicant, who I believe is just asking for what everybody around them seems to have anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Cindy, please read the roll on the original amendment, which is to have the 5871 restrictions of the guest house put on this project as well.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
No.
Mayor Leary?
No. So that fails. Now regarding the comprehensive plan.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And on the zoning.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes, and now on the conditional use.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Briggs.
Yeah, the next item on our public hearing agenda.
Mr. Briggs, will you hold for one second? I'm just going to pull the dais here. Are you guys okay? Do you need a break at all? We've been going since 2 o'clock.
I'm okay right now.
Okay. We good? Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Briggs.
Okay. This is a subdivision request for the properties at 1791, 1801, 1811, and 1821 Aloma Avenue to divide those four properties into six single-family lots. And you see on the overhead here of the zoning, those four properties, 1791 through 1821, that are right now designated single family, zoned R1A. And as you recall, the applicant also owns the property directly to the right, to the east, 1835 Aloma. That's a 75-foot wide property. That's zoned office, been zoned office for a couple of decades. That was part of, along with the other four properties, the requests that we heard earlier on this property about the townhouses, the 18 townhouses that were proposed for this property that did not go forward. The applicant heard from the commission that you did not want to change the comp plan. You didn't want to change the zoning from single family. So they are keeping the zoning exactly the way it is today and bringing in a re-subdivision of the four residential R1A properties. And of those, we together, we have 250 feet of frontage on Aloma and 250 feet deep. Those are the dimensions. And so the proposal is to divide it into six lots. I'll get to lot seven in a second. Six residential lots. You see there will be three lots in the front and then three lots in the back. Lots four and five in the back will be fed from a common driveway that will lead back, that will provide width for two-way traffic if any of those occupants happen to be coming and going at the same time, as well as some grass retention area on the side of that driveway. And then if you look at lot six on the right-hand side, you also see that it has a flag or a stem portion that leads down and provides access to that lot in the rear that, again, can provide width for travel cars as well as some grass on either side. All of these lots, except lot one, meet the 75-foot required in the R1A zoning district. The one westernmost lot, number one, is 67.5 feet wide. But the others range between 75 to 87.5 feet in width. All of them are larger than the minimum requirements in R1A. Minimum is 8,500 square feet. These are 9,800 square feet up to 11.2. And when you look at the home sizes in the surrounding neighborhood, they compare favorably. The average lot size is about 10,000 square feet. And they have average size of 10.4 here. So these are comparable in width and in square footage to the surrounding sizes of the home sites in the immediate area, because it is a large parcel, 250 by 250. What is very interesting about this request and is at some significant expense to the applicant is that rather than have five different driveways going out to Aloma Avenue, which would be the easiest and cheapest solution to do for this development, they are planning to do a unified common access in the front in order to make it a safer situation for all involved, as well as later on when lot seven, which is office, when lot seven there on the right, when that develops with an office building, it also can use that common drive. Because you see the driveway on the right-hand side is right in, right out. It's really too close to the median to be able to make any left-hand turns in or out, or to make them safely for sure. And then the driveway on the left-hand side, on the west side, that's far enough back down Aloma that you will be able to make lefts in and lefts out. Not every time during the day, but because there are obviously some peak traffic situations, but for the most times during the day. And so we heard a lot of discussion last time about neighbors' concern about cars traveling around through the neighborhood to the north. You're trying to get back out of Aloma. There's no way to make a left, so you circle around in the neighborhood. Well, by doing this common access, what they give these residents is an opportunity and a way to safely make the left-hand turns in and out and not have to circle around through the neighborhood.
Okay.
The other thing it does is it provides an opportunity for some common visitor parking up front. You see there's five visitor parking places in the front, and so guests or service people can park up front. We're going to do a little decorative wall and landscaping in front of that so we won't see the cars, as well as providing retention in that landscape area. So we will then have some additional parking for these occupants who live in the folks as well. And so they are doing this without asking for any setback variances. Obviously, we need to give them a little allowance for that extra pavement that's in the front to do the common driveway in terms of impervious coverage. But that is in everyone's best interest in order to have them build that. Again, the six lots meet the zoning with one small variance. So this is, seems to be what we had directed the applicant to do, which is bring back something in conformance with the zoning, and that's what they've done. So
thank you, Mr. Briggs. Any questions for staff?
Approval.
I'd like to move it.
Second.
Okay.
And thank you.
Comments? Not yet. One moment, please. Thank you. Comments from the dais? Any discussion? Nope. Let's open up the floor to public comment now, please, ma'am. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Nora Sanchez, and I live on 1790 Edwin Boulevard. I have a question. Right now, what you guys are going to be voting is in keeping the zoning R1A,
yes.
Right? You are not approving the project yet or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm asking.
Well, we are approving the project, as yes, as it's presented.
Because if you're approving the pro, you have to read in the writing that you guys will need to have to read. I live behind this building, the one in the back, on the left-hand side.
Number four?
Yes, number four. Right behind that is my house.
Okay.
And then if you read the writing that you guys provide to us, they say that they may be a problem because they don't know if they... if there is enough fall for the sewer and rain for that same people to come down to the front. In other words, if they don't do the project well enough, my right. backyard is going to be full of crap. Yeah, and I have no idea how you guys will protect, and not only my backyard, I mean, I'm talking for myself, but I have the other neighbors who are in the same position. Yeah. So I have no idea what kind of engineers they're going to get. I have no idea what kind of inspectors are going to get inspect the thing that we are not. And another thing, in case all of that fails for me as a resident of Winter Park, living behind this project, who do I sue? Do I sue the commissioners? Do I sue the speculator?
Okay. We'll take your comments, and once we hear from everybody else, we'll address some of the comments that you've just made.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. Ms. Sanchez, just to address those issues you brought up, it is the applicant will have to meet all of their requirements, and that's why we have professional city engineers and other professionals in the city to make sure that they build it to code to handle that. And as to who to sue, I have someone that works with me who often reminds me, anybody can sue anybody for anything. How you proceed, if you feel that you've been treated unfairly, that's up to you, and any attorney can probably guide you on that. Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. Folks, any other discussion on the dais?
My only thought would be perhaps George Wiggins could kind of address her concerns, because I think the city does have incredible people and processes in place to make sure that those things don't happen. I don't know.
Sure. Well, George, well, I certainly feel that if through the process, if Ms. Sanchez, if you have any questions, you can reach out to the city. George Wiggins is certainly capable of answering any of those questions for you. Okay. Okay. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Sandell?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wildman?
Yes.
Commissioner Larry?
Yes. Okay.
Next item on our agenda is a lot split, 1635 Dale Avenue. Pleased to report R1A zoning, needs 75 feet. They got it for both lots. Needs 8,500 square feet of land area. They got 11,775 for each of the lots. No variances requested, none needed. P&Z recommends approval.
Okay, folks, what say you? Nothing from the commission?
I'll move it.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Excellent. Comments?
I did read the letters from some of the neighbors that were concerned about the lot split. And, if there was some variance associated with it, I would be more concerned about getting all the neighbors on board with it. But it doesn't require any.
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
And so it's kind of difficult to tell somebody that when they meet all the requirements that we can't do what they're asking. So that's the reason that I'm okay with it.
Okay. Anybody else? We do. Is the applicant here?
Yes.
The applicant, would you like to speak, sir? You can, if you choose.
Yes, my name is Fred Schaub, and I live at 200 St. Andrews Boulevard in Winter Park. A couple of things to note on this. There already are existing two homes on this property. We're just dividing it to have a separate ownership for each piece. The houses, if you read the letter where the guy said, I'm lowering his values by $200,000, I debated that by I'm building a house two lots to the east for $1,350,000. These are going to be priced in the $1.4 million to $1.7 million range. So, unfortunately, he was incorrect. And he paid $1,250,000 for his house. So, that's all I can say. And thanks for your consideration.
Certainly. Would you take some questions if we have any? Other questions? No? Great. Thank you. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item? Now is your time. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Larry?
Yes. Mr. Briggs, 11E, please.
One last lot split. This one is a request at 2737 Woodside. And you see the location of the property. They want to divide it east-west, creating two 75-foot wide lots, one on the north side of the property, one on the south side of the property, because they're creating a corner lot. You're supposed to have an extra 10 feet in the corner lot. So there is a variance for the corner lot. It's 75 feet, and it's supposed to be 85. But when you look around in this neighborhood, it's a mix of homes on 50-foot lots and 65s, et cetera. Actually, the average home size is a 65-foot lot, and both of these would be 75-foot. So we had no one speak against this request at P&Z, so your recommendation is for approval.
Okay. Commission.
Jeff, when you draw a radius, just when you draw the circle right around this lot, does it change the calculations? I noticed you just picked a huge neighborhood area. If you were to specifically do the 500-foot radius, what happens?
You know, the code says 500 feet from the property, so you have to kind of measure from all four corners.
Right, we've always done a circle.
You don't do it just from the pin in the middle.
Right,
I didn't have it recalculated. It's just based on a pin in the middle.
All right, I'm personally not interested in approving lot splits that don't meet code, so I will not be supporting this.
Jeff, I just, real quick, when I looked at the setback that you're using for the side lot, that seemed to line up with the fronts of the rest of the houses on the street from the aerial photograph. Did you look at that on Woodside Avenue?
The setback that they're requesting or the one certainly that the code requires? Aerial. Greg, I'm
the setback
understand.
That they're requesting, which is not what the code requires.
But the one they're requesting doesn't go past the front of the house. Is that what you're saying?
So the narrow side is always the side we use for front setback purposes. They'll be meeting the 25-foot or 38-foot to the curb on East End Avenue. Then you're allowed to build 20 feet to Woodside Street to the south. And that is generally in line with the homes to the west, maybe a couple feet, 2 or 3 feet out in front of them, because they tend to be between 20 and 25 feet, but it's generally in line.
Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, when I looked at down the street, if it was going to stick out in front of the other houses, and it didn't look like it was.
Not significantly, no.
So So that's why I was okay with that. And again, no one was objecting.
And you have a lot of homes, even on the corners there, that are 50.
So we'll certainly entertain a motion, anybody. Yeah.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Mr. Wilder?
I'd just like to comment that all of the other corner lots here are 53 feet, 75 feet, 75 feet.
And some 50?
53 feet, 50 feet, 46 feet. This is not going to change the character of the neighborhood by approving this. Well, the setbacks are going to have to be whatever's allowed by single family code. They're not requesting anything there.
Okay, let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11E? Now is your time. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Mr. Seidel.
Sorry, I just had a question for staff before we move on. Jeff, on this one real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the aerial view, do you guys have an aerial view?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that hammerhead into the street there.
Mm-hmm.
That did the city have any discussions or look at doing something different than what's out there today, where the road just backs up to the people's houses, as part of this, like putting in any kind of round feature there or anything like that?
Well, I assume that's our right of way, right?
Yeah, because it just it looks like an unfinished neighborhood, and so if they're out there redeveloping this, it would be nice if we could make it look like a finished neighborhood. So that's what my comment.
I'm not sure I understand your comment, Commissioner.
Is he stub of?
I see it's stub, but is that a driveway too? Avenue. Does that go to a driveway?
Well, you can see it on the other house.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it does. Yeah. That's what I was asking.
I've been back in.
Looks
there,
like it goes to the other house.
Is right that there. Access to those houses, or are those houses access from the other street?
Well, it could be secondary access to get to the backyards of those homes. You know, if they had an RV or something that had to be in the backyard. Or
I think that's the access point.
No.
I don't see a driveway. I don't see an apron coming off.
Is your concern about the aesthetics of that area?
Yeah, I was just, if they're going to be redeveloping those two lots and there's something that can be done to make that look nicer while they're redeveloping those lots, okay. I think we should investigate that.
Well, we'll encourage that.
I think it's a fair question to ask of our public works. So, Troy, as this moves forward, please take a look at that. Okay, folks, we have a motion. We have a second. We've opened up the floor. We've closed it. Cindy, please read the roll on this.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner Walden?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
Yes. Well, folks, anything, we're going to open the floor to public comment on anything that's not on the agenda or budget comments. Now is your time if you'd like to address the commission.
Jim Fitch, 1820 Via Genoa. The commission has a unique opportunity to do something that will be almost universally approved. I say almost because in this elite intellectual environment, someone's bound to object. The problem's airplane noise. The solution is to change the glide path into Orlando International Airport on runways 18 east and west. That's when the planes land to the south. The planes are too low and they create objectionable noise that ruins the quiet enjoyment of our property. And I'm not the only person. I guess I'm the only one here. When they take off on runways to the north, 36 east and west, they're high enough and they do not cause a problem. Winter Park's about 18 miles from Orlando International Airport. I propose we petition OIA to raise the glide path from 20 miles out to 15 miles to an altitude that will mitigate the present noise level. I don't have radar. I think they're coming in about 3,000 feet, but if they were at 5,000 or certainly higher, the noise level would be mitigated. So here's an opportunity to do something for Winter Park property owners, not take something away. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, close the floor to public comment. Folks, any commission reports? Commissioner Seidel.
I just want to let everyone know that I did get to go to the graduation event this past week for the youth leadership Winter Park through the chamber. And I can tell you it seemed like a very excellent, it was an excellent event, and I think the kids learned a lot, and seeing the kids there, I think our future is looking good. So I'd like to thank the chamber for hosting that.
I think you're a little biased, your daughter's in the program. Come on. Truth be told, let's go.
She wasn't in the first group.
Full disclosure.
She was very well behaved. She was very, very kind.
I did go, well, apparently she sat in my seat.
She
did. She was arguing for density, just so you guys know. So, anyway, I thought that was, that's the first time I had seen that item up close, and I was really, I thought it was a very good program. So, I didn't have anything else, but I reserve the right to come back as I think of things where you guys are talking.
The chair will determine that. Folks, we do have someone that missed the opportunity to speak when we had an open mic. Please, no, that's okay. If you were regular, I would have said nah. You know the game, but you haven't been up here before, so please.
Hi, I'm so sorry I missed the opportunity. This is my first time, so. Hi, my name is Georgette, and I purchased a home here in Winter Park in 2009.
Georgette, it's just kind of, if you would give your full name and your address would help.
Georgette Myers, 812 Hamilton Place Court.
Great, if you would fill out a yellow slip before you leave and hand it to our city clerk,
absolutely.
That would be great. Thank
okay.
you.
I purchased a home here in 2009, and I lived in Dr. Phillips, and I just purchased it as a flip, and I decided to move here a couple years ago. And I was thrilled to do so because I had many friends that lived here, and I had heard for so many years that this was such a charming, wonderful development and area to live in. And I purchased a home that the train runs right behind my house. Well, I'm okay with the train. I've gotten used to that. But what I'm not okay with is the continuous graffiti that is all around me. And I'm really shocked that the city allows something like that. The train runs right along Denning, and there are commercial buildings that are right along Denning. And for some reason, the city allows the graffiti to be painted on the back of those commercial buildings. So I thought there wasn't anything I could do about that because they were personally owned buildings. Then the railroad system, or transportation system, I'm not sure if I'm wording that correctly, constructed a big silver box about 4 months ago. Well, although it wasn't, eye appealing, it's part of the system, so I got used to that. Well, a couple of nights ago, I own a big beauty company, and I sell on Home Shopping Network and QVC. So I came home at like 3 a.m. from a show, and I could, I was so tired, and I go across the tracks, and there I see all this graffiti written all over that silver box. And I thought, what am I doing? I can live anywhere. Why am I living here in a community that I thought was so charming and so wonderful to live in? And now I am surrounded by that. So I love my home, but I think that the city of Winter Park has so much more to offer. And we should do something about that. We shouldn't allow that kind of destruction. And as a single woman living here, it scares me to think that just a couple of feet from my home are people that would actually do that. So I'm asking that, number one, the city remove all that graffiti from that box and maybe contact the building owners along Denning and ask them to please repaint their buildings so that we can be proud of the city that we live in. That's it. That's all I have.
I can tell you that the silver box is most likely owned by SunRail or CSX or one of the partners on them. I can also tell you that the property owners, if you alert, tell us, tell code compliance will be out there telling the property owners to paint their building and remove the graffiti, and if they don't, they'll be under violation. There will be fines that start to accrue on their property.
So it doesn't fall under your mural, that mural category that
no,
I missed a couple minutes ago?
No, it doesn't. If it's graffiti and if someone's, a lot of times, a lot of building owners don't even know that it's on the back of their buildings because they never go back there. So if you tell our code compliance, and you can go to our website and find code compliance and just tell them the addresses, that would be a huge help to us.
If we don't know about it, we can't do anything about it. So let us know, and code compliance, we'll get on it.
Okay.
We have our new fire chief who's in charge of that, Dan Hagedorn, who is taking notes copiously right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
But I have a question about what she has talked about, the big silver box.
Yeah.
Can they just put up a big silver box?
It's a control box for the right away.
But they can just put up a big silver control box without needing
And what some of these new big boxes are to establish the quiet zones. They had to put up new controller boxes.
How big is big?
Oh, well, they're big.
8 feet by 12 feet.
Double refrigerators.
Okay.
A double refrigerator. That's fine. Okay.
Ma'am, would you like to speak as well? Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to speak this evening before we close the floor? Okay. After this last speaker, we will close the floor for good.
My name is Stefania.
Would you mind speaking closer?
We can't hear you.
Just pull that microphone down.
And it's important because I know you spoke at the coffee talk and I couldn't hear you then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, my name is Stefania McGrath. I live at 655 Palmer Avenue. And this has been a topic for a while, not only concerning the residents along Palmer, but on the side streets as well. And I've been working with Keith Moore in engineering and one of the sergeants in traffic. It's a major issue. It's very unsafe. It is to the point, I'm going to read all my post-its. I lost my progressives. So, but the pedestrian crosswalks, I spoke to Keith Moore what they are going to do at the crosswalk near on Palmer near Alabama and Phelps. They are going to be putting lights that one of the neighbors had recommended from a different neighborhood. And what I assume they're going to do, you push the button, it lights, you go across, because that's dangerous to go through there. We have a lot of different crosswalks. Part of the problem is that the drivers, many of them, are going too fast or they don't pay attention. I see a lot of nodding. But it's dangerous. I myself have gone part way out. I know you have to be in the walkway for any drivers to stop. I'm where it's 20 miles per hour. Made it almost half the way across, and a car just zoomed right in front of me, didn't stop, didn't hesitate, nothing. You're going to have that sometimes, but it is an issue, and it's pretty much a continual problem. It's a residential area for single-family homes. I know everybody knows that. Palmer is used both as an entrance to Winter Park as well as a cut-through, unfortunately. With all of the communities that are being built on 1792, further over, there's a lot of construction going on now downtown in the city of Winter Park.
That's another minute.
Okay,
you have another
just
minute.
A warning.
All right, I'm going as fast as I can.
It's like that flashing light.
But it is a problem, and there's only more traffic coming and going. In the morning, I'm a substitute school teacher, have the summer off. 2 more weeks, I'm going to be trying to take a left off of McKean onto Palmer. Virtually impossible. Now, at that point, we live on Palmer, so we do hear some of the traffic. It doesn't faze us. We knew that when we bought the house. It's not a problem. But when you're trying to get out at work hour, the speeding is gone because the traffic stop is there. You cannot get out. Unfortunately, there are some drivers that will park right in front of you. I put my car to the side to take a left, my blinkers on. I put my window down and practically beg to get on to Palmer. There are still people that, even though I'm going in the opposite direction of the traffic, instead of going towards Park Avenue, I'm going east to Lakemont. I'm not liking that buzzer.
I can give you another minute if you'd like.
Okay, yes, I'm going to need it. But there are things that were in place when we first moved to Winter Park about 12 years ago, and it was taken out a few years ago, where there was almost an island between the two Alabamas on Palmer, just a couple of trees ornamental that slowed the traffic down. In areas of Winter Park where they do have the crosswalks, they are elevated a little bit. They're done with brick with the border of concrete. That's an option. Nobody, well, I don't want brick roads on Palmer. It's noisy and it slows down, but we need to do something. There are a lot of different options out there. You can find them online. You can talk to engineering. I'm always the one chosen to speak at something like this, and I don't like it, but something needs to be done soon. A week ago Saturday, they had the traffic department out there. 9 pullovers, not including warnings, within a 2.5-hour period. That's a lot when it's just supposed to be a quiet road. They only have 5 people in traffic. They're supposed to be getting 2 more in a few months, and that's still not enough for them to sit there. I'm really not liking
thank
that.
Thank you. I think we've got to get
thank you very much.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You can email us any more comments.
But. Commissioner Sprinkle.
Yeah.
Okay, Randy, I know that Mr. Fitch talked about the airplane traffic. Does everybody know that we have Carolyn coming?
Yes, we have Mr. Brown and Carolyn Fennell coming at your second meeting in August to talk about the airport.
Okay.
They are, for the benefit of those who don't know.
Right.
Well, from Orlando International Airport.
Yes,
Phil Brown is the executive director of the airport, and Carolyn Fennell is their communications director.
She's a Winter Park resident.
And a Winter Park resident.
An influential person.
That's right.
Yes, she is.
That's right.
And now, so they're going to be coming to your second meeting in August, their first thing on the agenda to talk about what's going on at the airport, and they will give you a little bit of a briefing on the FAA study that's right. coming up that is dealing with the flight patterns and that type of thing.
Don't spoil the presentation.
But as a city commission, you have no control over flights. All you can do is be part of the people complaining. They do have a noise abatement board.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. Well, I'm saying, we could represent the people who live here.
No, absolutely. I mean, what I'm saying is you can't take a vote and make the airplanes go 10,000 feet
higher. We do not own the sky above
right.
us, right?
Okay,
right.
So let's wait.
All right. I just wanted the other people to know that we have heard this. We
yep.
are addressing it.
Yep.
And at least we're going to provide the information back to the public. The only other thing that I wanted to bring up, and I talked to Randy about it earlier, because I live in an old house and haven't built anything in a long time, but my boathouse got destroyed in the hurricane, so I just thought I was supposed to rebuild the boathouse, and I didn't realize how much work you have to go through to rebuild a boathouse in our community.
Yeah.
And so I just want us to look at that, because I'm building it back just like it used to be, only with the new rules, with a new pitch and all of that. But it has to go in front of a board in order for them to approve it. And I'm just building what they're requiring me to build and just paying what they're requiring me to pay. I don't want anything different. So the reality of that is I think it's a little bit much for us. So I'm feeling what I guess I've made everybody else feel for a while is – do we need to look at some of those kinds of regulations just to make sure? I would be the first to say I don't want to ever hurt our lakes, but I'm just cleaning up a messy boathouse. That's all I'm doing. So I just want us to look at them. And maybe they don't need to go to that board, because they have to go to the board, and then the building people come into play. Why does it need to go to the Lakes Board?
So, Commissioner, what exactly?
I want us to look at, or somebody, the Lakes Board even look at,
the process
to rebuild. I'm not building something new. I'm just fixing something that's kind of broken.
Right. Well, Mr. Mayor, she's right. I mean, unlike any other permit you would get on your home.
You don't have to go through the Lakes and Water.
Right. The building department can approve a permit for any other type of construction. When it comes to boathouses, even if it's just rebuilding what is currently there, you're required to go to the...
And what's the purpose of that?
Well, it was put in place years ago by the commission to... And it's really dealing with sight lines and all of that type of thing. You know, for the... You know, that's what they deal with. I don't know what authority they have to say you can't rebuild.
They have authority. I'd like to express that.
Yeah.
You just did the same thing?
I did the same thing, and quite frankly...
You had to go for a variance, didn't you?
I actually was turned down and could not put the rooftop back on my boathouse, nor could I use the same stairs. And so what I would say to you is, quite frankly, I think they did their job, because...
Did you receive a variance?
No, I had to.
I'm not going for a variance.
I had to rebuild.
You just avoided
thing.
That question. That's why I was working.
I had to rebuild the whole thing to existing codes, and I had to lose my rooftop entertainment area. And you know something? I looked at it and I said, well, that's what I would expect this board to do.
So what would you like, folks? What would you like to
do? Well, I just want us to look at it because...
Who would you like to look at exactly what? Happy to support something.
Yeah, I just think I also talked to a couple members of that board, and they said, we're not sure why we get it either. So if it meets the requirements from the building, I am just telling you that, okay?
So can I bring this in for landing?
Just
so why don't we ask the Lakes and Waterway Board specifically regarding rebuilds,
right,
if they believe that they need to? Because if it's sight lines and those things, if they were just rebuilds, they really shouldn't have to weigh in.
Yeah, rebuild within the same dimensions.
It should just go to building. So can we have them look at that and weigh in? Who is our Lakes Board liaison, Don? Would they look at that to see if they believe, and we'll take their, if they still feel that they'd like to weigh in on rebuilds, then that's certainly their purview, but we'd certainly like to hear from them. Thank you. Commissioner Cooper?
Yes. I have a few things. Interestingly enough, Mrs. Fennell was on my list already. If you could ask her if she would entertain questions or a discussion with our residents, have that open period so that she can hear, or maybe she doesn't want to address them, but I think our residents should have the opportunity to express their concerns while we have her here, even if it's just
they have that voice directly with the aviation board. The airports board.
Let's have the city.
I don't have any support for that. Okay.
So let's have the city manager talk to Ms. Fennell about it. But I certainly don't. If she doesn't,
I'm not trying to put her on the spot.
I understand. She's not an elected official. She should not.
Well, but Phil, Mr. Brown should be able.
He's not elected though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a few other things. My neighbor, I also live off Palmer, and you are right. I have to roll down my window and wave my arms to try to get someone to let me in. You're right. People are speeding, as I told the chief right before this meeting, more than ever on Palmer. So I would like personally to see a stop sign either on Temple or on Alabama, and I would love to have that assessed because I'm telling you, Palmer has gotten out of control. An easy way to address this would be for all city employees that have to go to that yard over on Howell Branch to, number one, do the speed limit, which they are not. Number two, to make it their policy to allow residents who are queued up on the side roads to get onto Palmer, because it has gotten totally out of hand. That's all I'll say about that.
Commissioner, if I can interrupt you real quick. I mean, it almost sounds like we need to have someone look at Palmer and come back with some overall recommendations.
Thank you. That's a much better and less personal recommendation, Commissioner. I appreciate that.
If residents are stuck in their driveways, they should figure out some strategies to make that not
happen. It is a problem. It's a real problem.
I live with the same reality off Palmer, too, and it is challenging between 7:30 and 8:30, and between 5 and 6, I'd say.
It's gotten worse.
And
it's gotten a bigger time.
If there's something that our traffic people can do to mitigate the safety issues for pedestrians as well as
traffic circles,
make it less stressful. Well, where are we going to put a traffic circle? We got any land for that?
No, but
folks, let's be careful.
Okay,
I think it's an enforcement issue too.
That
if that road is being traveled at the speeds it's supposed to be traveled at, it's probably the slowest major thoroughfare in the city at 20 miles an hour. So I have seen more enforcement on that road than I've seen on any road in the city of Winter Park.
Not now.
Yes.
Used to be.
Always. Yep. So I would say it's an enforcement issue. If the chief would take a peek at that and just
you live off that road too, don't you?
I don't.
But there's nobody that's got a bigger issue than you because you live on a Loma. So, I mean,
yeah, but you know what I did? I changed my behavior on how I'd get out.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do. You're not going to get out the same
way.
There's
only one way out for me.
Okay, that was just one little item that I just...
That's little. Can't wait for the others.
That was just a reaction to what I heard. And the questions for Ms. Fennell were a reaction to what I heard. And I would also like for us to think about whether it makes sense for us to prepare a resolution in advance of her visit with us so that we could at least present her with something saying that it is, you know, it is our intention to express the concerns of our residents and to have a commitment to improving and protecting our current quality of life. I would just sort of like to...
I have no objection to that.
I think it's presumptuous until we hear from her. I would not know
what to do. If I could get your nod, then we could at least...
To
create a resolution before we
even hear from her. I knew you were not paying attention. A resolution to, or a letter or a resolution, preferably, to present to
Ms. I said I agreed with the idea of a resolution. I didn't say that I agreed with the timing.
Yeah, I would like to, well, there's two things. Is one, I would really like to hear what she has to say. And then two, I'm sure there's a process to go through to try and get them to change it.
They've heard this before.
I would like to understand what more of the process is and then look at how we can leverage our strengths to see if something can
happen. I don't feel bad at that. And I would like to know from our city attorney at our next meeting, what is that process? How do we do that?
Okay.
And then the last thing, let's see if there was any more. Oh, the big deal to me is I really would appreciate if we could talk about whether we want to continue to allow the C2 Central Business District zoning to be used for 100% residential. I don't think that's the purpose for which it was developed. And I don't think that's going to create the walkable, connected commercial areas that we're hoping to have. And it does replace the R4 that we're so proud of.
Can I propose that we get through the mixed-use discussions first so we have a better understanding of that impact? Because that impact is one of the mixed-use impacts. And so let's have that mixed-use discussion so we understand it and then come back and address that issue.
I'm reading body language.
It was on an island, too, Carolyn. That's why I don't have any trouble with that. There was everything around it. It wasn't like
but
this
see,
is...
we keep doing that every time.
Well, that's
we
because
one,
who knows why it was ever done that way to begin
one.
With. Well, you know,
so. There's nothing bad happening around the next one.
Understand.
And
but the question is, where do we want it to stop? And we drew a line, and now we have stepped over the line and over the line.
Well,
and every time we do that, it gets much denser and less green space and more lighting.
I think it's important that I note that that same question occurred to me, but in a slightly different way, as I went through that application that we approved today. And that was... R3 doesn't address this need, and C2 doesn't really address what they're doing. But the market drives what, in the end, becomes the result. And we, as a commission, have to be flexible to recognize where the market realistically addresses the character we're all trying to create. And I think, regardless of what peg you stick in the hole, that project today is not inconsistent with the area that it's built in and very much complements what's transitioning modestly from office to residential on Morse Boulevard.
And I would agree
and
with you.
And I don't disagree
that,
with that process.
And I agree with you that the project as presented to us today does that. But what we did was we created entitlements for the future.
Correct.
That,
that don't scare
far,
me.
But they far exceed. But I understand they don't scare you. But I do appreciate not having stormwater in the streets. And I do appreciate not having overcrowded schools.
Right.
And I do appreciate not having congested roads. And I do appreciate
it's
the charm and the ambiance.
It's seven condominiums.
Okay, so I would appreciate it if you guys would like to have a meeting between yourselves, and I think it's a conversation that you can continue. I don't share the same concern. I think we should always have the flexibility to hear from our property owners on every one of their applications and not create barriers to them asking the question.
Well, then let's do away with all zoning, and we will never have to answer. No. We will not have any more barriers.
That's an unfair.
Get that down. Well, who wrote that down? Somebody write that down. Commissioner Cooper just suggested doing away with the zoning.
Sorry. Must have been a wild moment.
Okay.
Cooper wants to move to Houston.
Oh, my gosh. No, I've been there lately.
Hopefully
well, not. Thank you. Those were the only things
thank
I had.
Thank you,
and
all right,
well,
let me say, is it my turn?
The opportunity to discuss those
always.
Things. This
is the only opportunity for those wondering what we're talking about. This is the only opportunity we have to speak in public about what the fundamental thinking is behind our preferences and our votes. And I think it's important for the public to listen to this banter, frankly, because we don't get to banter any other time. And sometimes the banter is constructive, and sometimes we listen to each other and change our minds. So with that said, I just want you to know that today, traveling at 20 miles an hour on Palmer, there were three Winter Park policemen in yellow vests. One of them had a radar gun in his hand, and he was trying to see if anybody was going to cause you some problems. And so they were out there today, and I don't know what the chief's schedule is, but I think you've had an impact, you know, already. The last comment I have relates to what we did at the beginning of the meeting, where we celebrated the kids who had gone through the summer youth program. I don't know how we do this, but every time I look at the historical detail of where we spent CRA money, and I look at the future revenue coming out of the CRA, and I look at the results of some of the programs we have, it is absolutely astoundingly positive. We have done fantastic things commercially and socially in this city because of the CRA. And I don't know how we can leverage that. Maybe we can convince Orange County, based upon our experience, to expand it, extend it, whatever, because we should be the example case of how to do it right. And I'd just like to make that point for the commission and for the public who's listening, because it is an astoundingly successful story. Thank you. My only comment is, and I've communicated this privately to the chief, but Chief Deal, I think your social media program has been very well received in the community. I see people liking it and sharing it, and I think it's a really nice way that you've put a nice face on your officers. Many interactions with your department are under tough circumstances, so I really like what you're doing there, and I think it's really made a nice impact in the community, so thank you. Keep doing that. And I have seen the fire departments, too, but I really the police has just been outstanding, and so nice work, guys. Mr. Seidel.
Just one thing I forgot.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you addressing me. You said you had the choice. Thursday night from 6 to 10 at Casa Feliz is the Night of Expressions, which is a jazz night for the Hannibal Square Land Trust fundraiser. That just letting everybody know, if anyone out there hasn't signed up yet, I'll be going.
Okay, with that, folks, we're adjourned. Thank you.